Priya, okay. Warning, my opinions, views, ideas for improval. Of ISKCON. I mean, when you look at a well-functioning non-profit organization, church or society or whatever, spiritual or whatever, I would say it works well when you could say it serves the interest of the members. In Sweden, we sometimes call it an interest organization. You have a shared interest and you get together to support each other, make friends with like-minded, maybe work together and share experiences and so on, knowledge, then it works well. Because then everyone, the members, they feel that they get something out of it. It's not just that they have to serve something, someone, some organization or group or leader somewhere. And that's what it's all about. Even if you suffer in this life doing that, you will go to heaven afterwards. Rather, such a friendship between people who are devotees of God. Isn't that nice? Now, what's the use of that? Well, you know, we've got to get things done. And the mission. And so on. The buildings have to be maintained, and this and that. Projects. Who shall run them? If you simply sit there being friends. What is this sentimentalism, romantic idea? But really, we may have stumbled a little bit too much into that other side of it. That yes, it's all about the buildings, the projects, the temples, the money, the manpower. Woman power. We should gather that. Build a society in the society. Yes, sometimes, I don't know if it's still there, but we had this idea that this will, we're going to build a society complete and perfect, much more perfect than the current society out there, and then it will grow and take over the world somehow or other. So, building project, social engineering, as some called it, that's what it's about. Now, allow me to say, that such projects, temples, churches, whatever, farm projects, this and that, they should be started as they come naturally from that teamwork that then develops among those members. Who are friends and want to do something together. Yes, we are so and so many. What can we do? What do we want to do? What are we able to do? How much money will it cost? What will be the ramifications, the maintenance work and cost and this and that? In other words, a realistic business plan, as they call it, in the business world. Yep, now we do this and yep, it works fine. Because we had done our research, our proper planning, our strategies, our budgeting, and the resources we have as far as work, power and money and so on are enough. So that's how things should develop. But if you start from the other side with an enthusiastic leader, oh, finally I'm in a leadership position now, I got power and I can dictate control over the money and the working devotees. And then let's start this project, or let's improve this project. It's a little like emperors and kings of the past. Sometimes set out doing something spectacular so that they would be known as great kings, great leaders, rulers, appointed by God. So, well, maybe that's who you are. But the proof of the pudding is in its taste, as they say. I mean, the result will judge. But the thing is that when you start at this end, you're more starting building up a company. Well, you then need to get workers for your projects. which you decide. But they should then also work for free doing devotional service. So, well, maybe that will work, maybe not. But I really do think, having seen that from the inside, from the bottom and from the top, it can get tough, heavy to manage. And if you do it wrong, then people will simply leave. And there you stand with a big project on your shoulders. It has to be maintained. Yes, even spiritual houses are prone to laws of nature, where things break down and need to be fixed. So that is advice from an old man here. And if someone young, enthusiastic, full of energy, that he wants to get out somewhere or other, do something great, once they're filled with ideas, we can do this also and that, and we should increase and improve projects more, then we will get more people coming to help maintain those projects. That, hey, maybe just stop for a little while here. Relax. Look at the world as it is. Situation as it is. Calm down. And I'd rather say then, let's just start by maintaining what we have. What is here, and respectfully so, like we have this Brahmakun here, beautiful, nice building, which now needs to be renovated back to how it was when it was, after it was bought. Maintain. Uphold, and then rather than spending, and I would say, you know, many cases wasting energy and money on launching ambitious projects, new projects, just find a balanced, harmonious situation where things work out nicely as they are now. And when you've got extra resources, time, money, whatever, rather start by spending that on reaching out to people. That's what Sankirtan is about. That's what actually the Gaudiya mission is about. Spreading the knowledge. Well, simple way is to go out in the street and sell some books, or go down to our little studio here and make a podcast or something, or write a book. Papa wanted that. In other words, explain this, what you have learned, in your own words, for those people who are who can relate to you and who you can relate to from your own country, from your own generation. And you know, you don't have to be shaved up and walking in bed sheet, which is how people see it, with clay on your forehead and all of that. Prabhupada said to the actual founders of the ISKCON here in Sweden, you can live as ordinary people out there in society, dress ordinarily and work your jobs, take care of your family, but then speak to your friends about the Bhagavad Gita and all of that. That's anyway what people like to discuss when they run out of topics. Sitting together. And I can only testify that, well, you know, I was a preacher, as we called it. I didn't like the word, but still, we wanted to serve by, well, some call it making devotees, which I also never really liked, but inspiring others to become devotees and join, as we call it, which a little bit ambiguous about as well today. But the ones who were best at that, attracting others to take up Krishna consciousness, were those of us who lived out there, not even inside the temple, out there with their friends and hanging out with them in natural, normal ways. Didn't mean they were drinking alcohol and smoking pot, but you can be there anyway, at the parties and whatever. And then you talk, and people ask, and things go that way. And many get interested. Because really what I'm saying all the time is that this philosophy, this life of bhakti, of Krishna consciousness, is beautiful. So we should just learn to see that beauty ourselves. And just as when we go to Vrindavan, not see the dirt, but see Krishna there. Because that's anyway what it's all about. We are in this material world full of dirt. But when we are Krishna conscious, we see it not that way. We see Krishna, God, behind this all. And that's what it's about. And that's what Krishna consciousness is, and that we should want to share with others and enjoy ourselves. And when we do that, many will be interested and start coming and saying, how can I, what can I do? How do I do this? How can I help with this Gaudiya mission, this Sankirtan mission? And then nice projects can be started. And there's no end to how many and how big nice projects one can make. For those who like that, Hare Krishna.